Igor wasn't in a position to see her face fully, but the bogeyman was. He shot back so quickly that he fell off his stool. And when the girl spoke, what she said was only partly words, but also a statement, written in stone, of how the future was going to be. "Go away and stop bothering me." She turned back and gave Igor a polite and slightly apologetic smile. The bogeyman struggled frantically out of the wreckage of his stool and loped towards the door. Susan felt the drinkers turn back to their private preoccupations. It was amazing what you could get away with in beers. Igor put down the glass and looked up at the window. For a drinking den that relied on darkness, it had rather a large one. But of course, some customers did arrive by air. Something was tapping on it now. Igor lurched over and opened it. Susan looked up. Oh, no. The Death of Rats leapt down onto the counter, with the raven fluttering after it.
Squeak, squeak, ick, ick, squeak, ick, ick, heek, 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 squeak.
Go away, said Susan coldly. I'm not interested. You're just a figment of my imagination.
The raven perched on a bowl behind the bar and said,
Oh, great.
Squeak.
What are these? Said the raven, flicking something off the end of its beak. Onions.
Go on, go away, the pair of you, said Susan.
The rat says your granddad's gone mad, said the raven. Says he's pretending to be the hogfather.
Listen, I just... What?
Red cloak, long beard.
Heek, heek, heek.
Going ho, 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 driving around in the big sledge drawn by the four piggies. The whole thing.
Pigs? What happened to Binky?
Search me, 'cause it can happen, as I was telling the rat only just now.
Susan put her hands over her ears, more for desperate theatrical effect than for the muffling they gave.
I don't want to know. I don't have a grandfather.
She had to hold on to that. The Death of Rats squeaked at length.
The rat says you must remember he's tall, not what you'd call fleshy. He carries a scythe.
Go away and take the rat with you.
She waved her hand wildly and, to her horror and shame, knocked the little hooded skeleton over an ashtray.
Eek!
The raven took the rat's cowl in its beak and tried to drag him away, but a tiny skeletal fist shook its scythe.
Eek! 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 Squeak!
He says you don't mess with the rat, said the raven.
In a flurry of wings, they were gone. Igor closed the window. He didn't pass any comment. They weren't real, said Susan hurriedly. Well, that is, the raven's probably real, but he hangs around with the rat.
Which isn't real, said Igor.
That's right, said Susan gratefully. You probably didn't see a thing.
That's right, said Igor. Not a thing.
Now, how much do I owe you? Said Susan. Igor counted on his fingers.
That'll be $1 for the drinks, he said, and 5 pence because the raven that wasn't here messed in the pickles.
It was the night before Hogswatch. In the Arch-Chancellor's new bathroom, Modo wiped his hands on a piece of rag and looked proudly at his handiwork. Shining porcelain gleamed back at him. Copper and brass shone in the lamplight. He was a little worried that he hadn't been able to test everything, but Mr. Ridcully had said, "I'll test it when I use it." And Modo never argued with the gentlemen, as he thought of them. He knew that they all knew a lot more than he knew, and was quite happy knowing this. He didn't meddle with the fabric of time and space, and they kept out of his greenhouses. The way he saw it, it was a partnership. He'd been particularly careful to scrub the floors. Mr. Ridcully had been very specific about that.
"Veruca gnome," he said to himself, giving a tap a last polish. "What an imagination the gentlemen do have."
Far off, unheard by anyone, was a faint little noise, like the ringing of tiny silver bells.
Bling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling.
And someone landed abruptly in a snowdrift and said, "Bugger," which is a terrible thing to say as your first word ever. Overhead, heedless of the new and somewhat angry life that was even now dusting itself off, the sledge soared onwards through time and space.
"I'm finding the beard a bit of a trial," said Death.
"Why have you got to have the beard?" said the voice from among the sacks. "I thought you said people see what they expect to see."
"Children don't. Too often they see what's there."
Well, at least it's keeping you in the right frame of mind, Master. In character sort of thing.
But going down the chimney,